Welcome along to the Rugby Pass podcast. It is the 27th of May. We are in Auckland, New Zealand at the moment, and what a pleasure to welcome to the podcast this week All Black selector and former All Black great, Grant Fox. Good afternoon to you, Foxy.
Hey, Scotty. How are you doing?
Mate, I'm really good, and I thought for our listeners this week, Foxy, you know, I know that you guys have got a pretty big announcement on Sunday New Zealand time with the first All Black squad of 2016, so you're probably not going to drop us a few hints there, as much as I'd like you to. But I thought, for rugby fans who may not know, you guys travel a lot, looking at all the players on your notebooks, looking for what you are trying to find in an All Black side. And I thought they'd like to know just how you guys go about this. So I guess, first of all, Foxy, can you tell us what the setup is in terms of the All Black selection team?
Yeah, there's three of us involved. Steve Hansen is head coach. Ian Foster is assistant head coach. And myself, who's an independent selector. So there's the three of us, but we also seek opinions from Wayne Smith and Mike Cron, who are, you know, deeply involved in the coaching unit as well. We'd be silly not to, with all the rugby knowledge that they have. But it's essentially the three of us that it comes down to. And look, we set up a watching program around Super Rugby. You know, early on, we just move about quietly. We're not all together all the time, that often early. We sort of share the workload because it's impossible to get, you know, for all of us to get to every game. And then as we get closer to announcing a group, and inevitably there are local derbies which sort of form, you know, almost trial matches for us. The three of us attend. But right through that process, you know, we've got a spreadsheet. You know, we're sort of technically adding players. We don't often delete players because, you know, players' form comes and goes a bit, so we grant them a bit of grace in that regard. We know what we're looking for in terms of the experienced guys we've had from previous years, and, you know, they're always likely to be looked upon favourably. But inevitably, there's some guys who have moved on, and so there will be a few holes to fill. And, you know, we talk a lot. We whiteboard stuff. We get together in hotel rooms. You know, we just keep talking. The communication lines are always open. And we start nailing this down as we get closer and closer to naming a group. Because logistically, you know, we name a side on Sunday and we assemble on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, you know, logistically, we have to know where we're heading pretty well in advance so the manager can get all the logistical stuff organised. You know, this could still be one or two holes or we get an injury. Or two, and some late stuff is done. But inevitably, you know, as we stand now, you know, without any more injuries, you know, we could name our 32, which we're not going to do at this stage. But, you know, that's, I mean, it's not rocket science. It's just a process of watching live, using the computer, marrying up your thoughts, you know, using spreadsheets of stats pages and, you know, just drilling down and, coming up with who we think are the best group.
Now, Foxy, you and I used to work together, of course, calling rugby games for Sky. And I remember when you were first offered the selector's job and just how excited you were about having the chance to be a big part of this All Black team again. You'd been such a big part of it as a player and then to come back as a selector. When you were first offered the job, was it a sense of nervousness or just genuine pride that your knowledge was sought by what was already a very successful coaching group?
Oh, look, my passion for the All Black jersey, as, you know, lots of people have in this country, but especially when you've played for them, is what really, you know, drives you. And then to get offered the opportunity and the great privilege to work with this group is pretty special. You know, not many people get that opportunity. And normally when your playing days are done, if you're not coaching, normally your association at that level's finished. But I was fortunate enough, you know, a number of years later, although, you know, we had a link through broadcasting, didn't we, Scotty? So you sort of maintain the link, but you're not donkey deep in it. So, I mean, the selector role was good for me because I'd done a bit of professional coaching, and to be perfectly honest, I didn't like the emotional roller coaster of coaching because I felt a distinct lack of control compared to playing, or a lack of influence when you're playing and you're on the field. I found that a lot easier. I actually thought coaching was much tougher. And so I got to actually be a selector with this very special team and not have the huge time commitment that the coaches put in and that the emotional roller coaster, which is massive when you're with the All Blacks. You know, yeah, you go up and down a bit because I'm involved in the group, so you're going to ride emotions, of course, but nowhere near what the coaches do. So you know, and just to be able to indulge my passion for the game and for this team. You know, was I nervous at the start? I'd be lying if I said I wasn't, because, you know, it's a big responsibility. And I still get nervous every time we name a team. You know, have we got this right? You know, what's the reaction going to be? Although we don't worry so much about that. We'll always back ourselves that we've done the work and we're always going to be confident in the group we pick. But, you know, it's natural that you want endorsement. No one likes criticism too much. So you've just got to deal with that when you do what we do.
You're on the Rugby Pass podcast for this week. It's May 27th in Auckland, and we're joined on the podcast by Grant Fox, All Blacks selector, as they look ahead to naming the first All Blacks team of 2016. Grant, talk us about the selection process, because a lot of rugby fans, their experience of the game is to watch rugby through the television. As selectors, you spend so much of your time watching live at the ground.
Yep.
What is the difference in your mind between looking at a game live at the venue and looking at a game on television?
Okay, well, the television's obviously shot very tight, so you don't see the full field, and therefore all the players aren't in your line of or your vision all the time. But live at the ground, you can achieve that. But generally, when we're at the game, we'll look at 2, 3, or 4 players at most over the course of the game, and our eyes, for the most part, are just on them. We don't watch the game as a whole.
It's an entire game where you're just watching one player.
Of course we, more or less. I mean, look, of course we, our eyes dart away occasionally where something really exciting's happening and the crowd are going noisy and you want to see what's going on. But, you know, 90% of the time we have our eyes on a player, watching what they do off the ball, which, you know, on television you see what they do on the ball. Live at the game you can see what they do off the ball. So you're looking at how smart they play, you're looking at their work rate, you know, the decisions they're making off the ball. You know, then we marry that up on the computer. So, you know, we might go back and watch highlights packages on television, but we've got a computer program that, you know, we can watch 4 different camera angles. We can cut through a player, you know, in about 6 minutes. You know, all the actions of a player in a game are sort of pretty much in a 6-minute clip with a 3-second lag time before and after each action.
Sure.
And so you marry what you see at the ground, off the ball, with what you see on the ball on the computer, and then, you know, we get all these stats packages delivered, which, you know, we keep pretty simple, and, you know, I don't refer to them a lot personally. We just use them for a little bit of reinforcement at times, and really, you know, we've had a lot of years involved in this game and been fortunate to play at a reasonably high level, so you just trust your judgment and trust your instinct. You know, we know what we're looking for by position. In terms of how we wanted to play the game, you know, what we're looking for in terms of the core role of that, of the position, you know, what players might be able to add that we can actually build 1 or 2 things around. So all of that information is what you sort of, you know, you mull over in your head, and, you know, you sit down with the other selectors and you put your ideas down, and Steve says there's no such thing as a dumb idea, so you just chuck it out there and you chew the fat. And look, you know, Scotty, we are really aligned nearly all the time. Yes, we have healthy debates, which is a good thing to have. But invariably, we reach consensus. I mean, we have never had a vote in 4 years when we've picked a group yet. Not once. We've got close a couple of times, but, you know, another bottle of red wine and a bit more debate, we usually solve that little problem.
Oh, I'm glad to see wine works for every decision.
It does, it does.
Foxy, I want to just go back a little bit. You know, you talk about players off the ball, and, you know, we're lucky as broadcasters because, you know, like you as selectors, we get to see the whole field sitting in a commentary box. So you see a player's effort in between acts. What, to you, is the single most important thing a player can do when he's not involved in a tackle or a breakdown?
When he's not involved in a tackle and a breakdown, what we want is we want guys on their feet quickly so they're back in play, because the more guys on your feet, whether you've got the ball or not got the ball, is useful to your team. You know, we're watching the urgency of people to reload, to concentrate on what is their next task, where do they need to be next to make sure they can fulfill their next task, and how quickly can they do that? Because that tells us a lot about them. That tells us a lot about their attitude. That tells us a lot about their fitness. Tells them a lot about how smart they are in terms of the decisions they make. They are the key things. So, you know, we are looking, we're very focused on, you know, you can't change what's happened, whether it's good or not so good. And so you just got to dump that and move to the next task. And, you know, this game moves quickly. So guys need to, you know, understand what's going on, see what's going on, and make a decision on their next action quickly. Now, sometimes that might be just, I've got to hightail it back to position because I'm on the wrong side of the field. Yeah. So I've got to get, and it might be just, you know, it might be two or three more actions before you're involved in the game, but the play's not gone to your side of the field, so you've just reloaded and got back to where you need to be. You know, one example, and you see this because I hear you commentate lots, and you understand this well, but guys clean out at a breakdown, and you know, the next group takes the next breakdown, and the group of forwards that are in the previous one have got to have reloaded and be to the next station so the team can implement their pattern of play. Because if you've got guys who are lazy and they're not up and they're on the ground, and you've got less guys, you know, being able to take the ball forward,
you've
and
got
the,
fewer options.
The defensive side's got more on their feet, well, you got nowhere to go. You're going to lose the battle of the gain line because they're going to recognise numbers and press forward hard and rush you, and they're probably more likely to make dominant tackles. So you get put under pressure. So, you know, a really important factor is, you know, when you're involved in an action and you end up off your feet, is how quickly, because at any one time we want 14 guys on the feet. You're never really going to lose one, but yeah, we want 14 guys on their feet ready to go.
Foxy, over the last 4 years, you've been able to pick a team based around a massive and genuine core of experience. A
yep.
lot of that experience, in fact, around about 700
yep.
test caps have
yep.
left this year.
Yep.
Does that change for the All Blacks management and for you as a selector, the way you look at the game, what you're trying to achieve with a team, when you know that some of those players,
yep.
if I give you the Carters and McCaws, there's no like for like because we'll never see their likes again. Does
no,
that
we
change
won't.
The way
no.
you look at it?
No. Yeah. Well, look, we're not going to change the way we play because actually every year we're trying to grow our game anyway. So, yeah, are we trying to change it in that regard? Yes. Are we going to try and change it because we've lost those guys? No. We can replace the players, and we're not going to be asking a Sam Kane, for instance, you know, who's been an understudy to Richie for quite some time, to try and be Richie McCaw. We ask Sam Kane to be Sam Kane and do what Sam Kane's good at. What we lose is a massive amount of experience from a leadership point of view, and that's the big thing that'll take time to, that's the void we've got to fill, and that'll take some time.
And does that further the argument around decision making? Because you want to know that the guys you bring into this team this year, whether they've played for the All Blacks before or not, are capable of learning very quickly and already have with them a body of knowledge about and understanding about the game.
Yeah, I don't need to add to that. You've got that dead right. So, you know, look, some of the guys who are replacing these, you know, five of the six who of the main guys who left, and we've lost some more too, mm-hmm. had played over 100 test matches.
Yeah.
But a lot of the guys who are replacing them have played 30 or 42, not full test matches in terms of 80 minutes, but they've had that many caps, you know, quite a few of them off the bench. So they've got a big bank of experience. But, you know, the guys who've played all those games that have now moved on or retired, you know, they've been through so much, seen so much, that they understand, you know, what needs to be done in almost any given situation because they've seen it all before. A lot of the newer guys, and even though they've had 30 or 40 tests, there's lots they still haven't seen.
Yeah.
They'll learn from getting more opportunity. You know, but the leadership group will evolve a little bit too. We are not rebuilding. Steve Hansen has been at pains to say we are not rebuilding. We are trying to move to another level, and we're going to use this group to try and help us achieve that. I mean, sitting still is going backwards, so last year won't be good enough. We're ahead of the pack at the moment. We want to stay there. We're trying to evolve. One of the key things for us, Scotty, is mentally, how do we get in the zone where we need to be every time we turn up? Now, that's the biggest single factor, in my view, for any sports team in the world, no matter what level. You know, when you are doing something frequently, how can you get yourself in the zone, you know, time after time after time to perform at close to, if not at, your optimum level. Now, no one's mastered that yet, because if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. It ain't easy, and it's something we've been concentrating on for the last 4 years, about how do you back up a great performance with another great performance. I don't actually think we've yet done that. We might have got close a couple of times, but we haven't yet done that. It's something we are constantly working on, and that's still a big growth area for us, and that's something that, you know, new leaders, I mean, here's the other dynamic to think of. I mean, you know, that leadership group, those guys who've gone, were so experienced that often, you know, younger guys, and this is natural, they just sort of do.
They wouldn't say anything.
They just follow. Now those guys have gone, you know, it might free these guys up a bit to actually say, righto, you know, now I can come forward with my ideas and I'll use my voice a bit more. That's nothing critical of the old guys at all. That's just, again, natural when you've got all that experience. Why wouldn't you defer to them a bit and listen to them and, you know, take on board what they are saying? Because they've seen it all.
Yeah,
but it's a chance to grow.
They cast a big shadow, don't they? Those players
do.
And it's, as you say, I mean, and that shouldn't be used as a criticism.
Not at all.
It's just the fact of life. When you've been around so long, people trust what you have to say and don't feel the need to add anything. There's a bit of social loafing that goes on in that situation.
Good term. It's a term we use a lot. But it's the same in your career. You know, senior broadcasters, you know, you look up to them. You know, same way that, you know, players in a team look up to senior players. They look up to old legends of the games.
Correct.
You know, it's just natural.
Foxy, I want to finish with you. I know that you've got a big meeting this afternoon, and I just want to finish with, you know, a point on this team and the challenge of Wales. And you know, you're playing against a team that has a wonderful history against the All Blacks, maybe not in results, but certainly in the rivalry. You've played them before. They're coached by a man you played with in the All Blacks, Warren Gatland, who knows Steve Hansen very well also. So there is a genuine rivalry here, two countries for whom rugby is the national game. Is there a sense of trepidation for you as a selection team, knowing that no matter how good your succession planning has been in the past, no matter how good your management structure is, that this will be a very experienced Welsh team and they will be looking at this All Blacks side saying, here is a chance?
Well, I wouldn't use trepidation. I would actually use excitement, because trepidation means that, you know, we've got a barrier in front of us and we are not that confident we'll get through it. You know, excitement means, well, yeah, we've got a challenge ahead of us and we're going to push through those barriers. And that's the way we're viewing it. You know, we will be naming some new All Blacks on Sunday. There will be some guys who've played 30 or 40 tests but haven't necessarily started. A lot of them are going to get that opportunity. I mean, that's incredibly exciting. And against one of our old traditional foes, well, you quite rightly pointed out, the national games in both countries, and you don't say that very often. Probably the only other one is South Africa you could include that in. So tremendously exciting. Wales haven't beaten the All Blacks since 1953, so they're pretty keen to change that. You know, so they want to create history. We've got a group that loves creating history. We just don't want to help Wales create their history, which means that we've created some history, but for the wrong reason from our point of view.
That's
so
right.
You know, look, you know, we know a lot about how Wales play the game. They'll know a lot about how we play the game too. I mean, that's just, you know, with the technology nowadays, and we've got someone full time on the opposition, so, you know, we get downloaded a lot of information, and no doubt they've done the same on us. So, you know, they're a big, you know, we know how they play the game. So it's one thing understanding it, another thing is dealing with it, and that's going to be our challenge. But they've also got to deal with us, and you know, we won't be doing the same things exactly as we did last year, nor do we expect Wales. So that's the exciting part. You know, there's no trepidation. It's just, you know, it's exciting. If you have got a lot of trepidation, then, you know, maybe we're in the wrong game.
All right, Foxy, and I will leave you with this. I would like you to rank this statement, zero being least accurate, 10 being very accurate. This will be an All Black team mainly about players resuming their careers versus players beginning their careers.
Oh, how much time have I got? Look, I said we'd be naming some new guys. Some new guys will get an opportunity. some new guys, you know, we'll bring in to help develop. We've been doing that for the last 4 years, so that process isn't going to change. But there is no doubt some guys are going to get an opportunity, more so than they have, you know, in the last few years. So I wouldn't say 10, but I'm not going to say 0, but, you know, I would probably say 7. The fence is hurting a bit too. My bum's sore, but anyway. All right. Okay, mate.
Foxy, it's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you very much, mate.
Bye-bye.
There he is, Grant Fox, ladies and gentlemen, on the Rugby Pass podcast for this day, the 27th of May, giving us an insight into selecting the All Black team and, of course, that All Black team for the Welsh International Series that you can watch on rugbypass.com. Will be named on Sunday, New Zealand time, 10 a.m. Sunday, New Zealand time for that All Black team. There it is, the pod for another week. Scotty Stevenson with you, and I'll be back next week as we prepare for what should be an epic June International Series, South Africa hosting Ireland, Australia hosting England, and the All Blacks hosting Wales right here in New Zealand. Till then, be safe.